Ken, what's your take on Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker? He wants to take collective bargaining away from state union employees.
Tony, I believe it to be another leg of the national effort to bust unions, to be simple. At all disregard of negotiated contracts, which are negotiated in good faith. At the time of negotiations, we willingly sat down, as well as the employer, which in that situation would be the state of Wisconsin, negotiate these contracts that this will be the terms and conditions of employment, to encapsulate wages, to encapsulate safety features, and all the other elements of the contract. And that at a later date, we bring in a new administrator, and it's about busting that contract. There's a national effort on unions to break those unions. It's ill will in my mind that we have negotiated contracts and administrators go to this effort. Why would a governor put the National Guard of Wisconsin on standby, knowing that he's attempting to bust contracts? He's anticipating that hostility. You're constantly putting the burden of the budgets on the working poor. And we as civil servants are on the brink with all the elements they continue to come at us with of being in that poor category. There wasn't the time too long ago that civil servants for any state, whether it be the state of Michigan or whether it be the state of Wisconsin, was a preferred position. I had a meeting with a warden yesterday morning down at one of the facilities, and she was indicating how they were having a problem filling positions because nobody wants to work for the state of Michigan. In the trying times that we're in, the employer is having problems filling positions.
Well, it's interesting to watch that story unfold. I came across some information that in the first legislative day here in the state of Michigan, that there were 33 bills that could negatively affect union workers. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did, and we have been monitoring those quite closely. The very first bill was presented by a 23-year-old representative that certainly is yet finishing school, and the Republican Party is this effort to bust unions. We, as public servants, have a little bit of insulation on that with the civil service of Michigan. We're one of just a few that has that privilege. Constitutionally dictated party. And with that, we have that little bit of insulation. But there's many unions, organized labor in the state of Michigan that does not have that. And we are willing to support them as brothers and sisters of labor in those efforts. This is all ugly legislation of a great effort nationally to bust unions.
I wanted to get your take because of your background in the prison system, and to talk about the prisons in here in Michigan. Why does it cost $10,000 more per prisoner, in your estimation, to house a prisoner here in Michigan as opposed to Indiana?
I believe it to be the administrative costs. I know that some of the information being released on Governor Snyder's budget is food service and the store operations. Possibly one facility closure. I know in the past they've made some changes in the court rulings and the criterias to actually incarcerate, and with that they've ended up with reduced numbers. The MPRI program has allowed tether programs and outsourcing some of the housing to reduce the cost. The problem is we have a population that is not deemed to be fit to be in society. With that, the administrative costs of many layers of bureaucracy, to be simple, assistance to assistance in the Department of Corrections. I think that the governor needs to take a close look at that. I personally have solicited to meet with him. The coalition of unions in state government have sent letters soliciting to meet. And yet we've not had that honored, even though he has an open-door policy, as he's proclaimed. We'd like to bring the solution to him, We'd like to be part of the resolution, not the casualty of his action.
What do you think about the privatization of prisons?
I don't like that. That's a scary thought. I don't want to be offensive to the folks that work in that area when it comes to what we refer to as Pinkerton cops. The fact of the matter is there's a reason that our brothers and sisters in MCO are being paid the wages they're paid. They have extensive training. They are trained to be able to handle social elements that defusing tactics. There's just numbers of things that they're trained to be able to monitor and control the population inside a corrections facility. And with that, those are extremely important criteria. Now, we've tried this in the past up at Baldwin. It wasn't effective. They are reestablishing it now again. They've raised some criteria levels, but I don't believe that they will be successful. I'm concerned that the attempt to do that might create safety issues for the public, and I don't believe it's a well-thought-out plan.
Can't these private companies, if you will, train their employees the same way that our present workers are trained?
Certainly training is available and it is a tool, but when you're operating within the budgets that exist with the training programs, it's costly to do the training, and that's part of the cost factor. To be trained at the level that our folks are, and every employee that is in the Department of Corrections under the department's authority is required to do annual training to accommodate that.
Well, before we let you go, Ken, it would appear to me, just as an outsider looking in, that unions as a whole have a PR challenge, and that there is information out there that supports and that doesn't support that state workers make more than the private sector workers do, that state workers have better benefits. It's hard to decipher which is true and which isn't, but there's a definite PR pro challenge here. What can you do to change that?
Well, with that, the mission is, and we're working in the collaboration of many organizations, the rally this morning, the Spirit of Michigan, United Voices of Labor, we are developing mechanisms to educate the public who and what we are. And we've done this in the past, and in my travels in the last short number of years, the responses are, well, we didn't know you did that. The public response, well, I didn't know that we had those types of services. I didn't know that that job existed. And then the comments are, good for you. Thank you for what you're doing. The public doesn't know who we are, and we failed at that. Although the activities of the current administration is in a defaming tone, we have a mission at hand. And the Republican Party has taken many years to buy up the radio stations and the newspapers, and so we're limited resources. But it's going to have to be a voice-to-voice, and that's where we came up with the Spirit of Michigan, United Voices of Labor.
All right, that is today. Downtown Lansing in front of the Bochy Building is where you'll end up, but you're going to meet on the front of the Central United Methodist Church at 215 Correct. North Capitol. That starts today at 10:30, goes to 11:30. Ken, thanks so much. I learned a lot. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the effort.